Greetings, Liddell. This is Bob Rausch, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. And as you know, if you've been driving around town, this is election season. A lot of people looking for a change and looking for people to do something different. And we're fortunate today to have a guest on this show, Representative Greg Cromer from our District 90 in Baton Rouge. Has been up there for a little while, has done some things here in the city, and wanted to bring him to you today. So, Representative Cromer, good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you, Brother Bob. It's good to be with you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
We've done this before, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, and it was good. In fact, I think the last time we did this, about halfway through, you said, do you think you'd like to know what my plans for the future are? And I said, sure, what's that? He said, I'd like to announce on your show that I'm running for mayor.
I believe that was the first time I said that.
That's right, and we were honored that you would take a venue such as this, and now we're in the home stretch. Elections March the 24th, and maybe you'll take a few minutes here and talk with us and introduce yourself to the two or three people in town that don't know you, if you would do that for us.
Well, I'm honored that I had the opportunity to bring that message to God's people and let them know that I believe that we have favor in this campaign, or I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
So, and we can get into that more later, but I have been in Slidell since 1982, married my wife in 1982. We've been married 35 years now, 35 wonderful years. She's two-time cancer survivor and still is an inspiration to me every day that we get up, because whenever I get up without a smile on my face, she never gets up without a smile on her face. She's just a joy and a glory to me. And I don't say that lightly. But I've been in Slidell 35 years, going on 36. I started my career here with Martin Marietta, worked out there, converted to Lockheed Martin whenever that transition occurred. I was with Lockheed Martin for 27 years and converted over to a little small engineering firm out of New Orleans called Geosint, working contract work with Jacobs Engineering and Boeing Corporation at Michoud, same place I had been for the 27 years prior. I was out there for four more years, so 31 years total at Michoud. In the space program. We made history, building external tanks and launching space shuttle into space to service satellites and the space station and what have you. And now they're making history out there again with the space launch system, the next generation of space vehicle. I'm not a part of that anymore. Would like to be, but I've moved on. I got out of the space business in 2013 and went into health insurance business for a couple of years. Got out of that in 15, 16, and I went to work back again with Jacobs Engineering Company doing project management work again.
Great,
so I've
great.
been around the block in the engineering construction space business. Not an engineer, degreed engineer. Served in engineering management positions, managing some of the smartest people in the world in the space program.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
I was elected to the city council here, District G, in 2002 in Slidell, and worked with the council for 6 years until January of 2008. I was elected that fall before that in 07 to go to the legislature, and went to the legislature in 08. Fortunate enough to work under Mayor Ben Morse when we went through Katrina, and I was council vice president and then president the following year after Katrina, and just amazed at how Ben managed the company or the city through that crisis, and he was the right man for the job at that time, for sure. But I felt like throughout all that in the 6 years I was on the council that I can do that job, and I want to do that job given the opportunity one day. So opportunity to come to go to the legislature came up in 07 with term limits with the guys that had been there for many years, and in some instances Pete Schneider, our representative, was termed out, and I talked to Pete, and he graciously supported me in that campaign, and I was elected in 2008. Went on in 2007, took office in 2008. Year of 2012 I went in unopposed. Went in unopposed the first time. In the second term, I had opposition from a gentleman up in Pearl River that was in the district, and we won that election and went back to Baton Rouge. And my third term, which we're in now, I had no opposition, and we're in 2 years in. I'm in my third year and the end of my term, due term limits. So the mayor's office opens up with Mayor Drennan termed out, and I'm terming out right behind him. So it's a good segue for me to move into city government. You know, I've all of my political career is and a lot of my personal career has really positioned me and trained me to be our next mayor. I have, through my council service, I understand the impact, what happens in the day-to-day activities and budgetary activities in the community, the everyday functions of the city, and what the city services provide to our community, and what people expect from city services and city government. In the state legislature, you know, I gained a good insight as to what state and federal regulations, what type of impact they can have on local communities, and, you know, as far as stimulating growth or stymieing growth or economic development. I think I have a good handle on how to help our city manage through that and assure that we are able to be at the table in Baton Rouge when opportunities arise to bring, I'm not going to say bring home the bacon, but to bring home opportunities for our community, whether it be for infrastructure or just an economic development opportunity through the Louisiana Economic Development Authority. I've worked in that industry before when I was at MISU in the last part of my career. I've worked around it in the legislature, so I've been preparing. And last but not least, you know, my experience in managing people and projects and budgets and schedules in the space program, in the construction program. I've managed $50,000 projects, and I've managed $18.5 million projects and been successful in making our schedules and making our budgets and keeping a good cohesive workforce that was focused on providing an end product that everybody agreed to. So, you know, I'm never going to be the sharpest pencil in the room or the smartest guy in the room, but pretty quick learner at figuring out who the smartest guys are. And a lot of times those smart guys seem to work better by themselves than they do in a group, but if you can get the group, get them working together in a group, you can really come out with a fantastic result. And that's what we did in the space program. And I think I bring that to city government and being able to bring the right team to the table to keep us moving in a good direction while we're growing. You know, growth has its downsides too, and the growing pains, which is the burdens that we have on our infrastructure and the opportunities for a criminal element to see what we have in our community and want to come in and take some of that away from us. You know, those things are at our doorstep. So we have to manage our growth and our development with an eye on the future to enable us to grow, but to also make sure that we are overcoming those burdens on our infrastructure, our roads, sewer, water, drainage, and assuring that the police department has the resources they need, whether that be manpower, tooling, equipment, training, all of that, to assure that they are prepared to meet the criminal element at the door and turn them away.
Well, you really had an excellent background with a variety of experiences, which no doubt prepares you to deal with the federal government on one side, the state government, but on the other side, to be able to talk to regular people about things that they understand, about things from people's perspective. And it sounds like you bring, a good understanding of a lot of different aspects that are necessary to fulfill the office of mayor. I've heard it said several times through the campaign, through the forums, that we have a good foundation now. Mayor Drennan and the council have demonstrated a very high level of cooperation, of working together, and sounds like you have the tools to be able to maintain and build on what's already been put in place.
I believe that I do. I think the council that we have currently is probably one of the best councils that we've had in as long as I've been in Slidell. Maybe it's a very cohesive, functioning council. There doesn't seem to be any different groups or rifts within the council. They all seem to be pulling together for the what's right for our community and putting us in a good direction. The mayor has a good working relationship with the council, from what I can see, and that's part of the process in city government. You know, the mayor has a vision, and the mayor presents a budget. But unless he presents a budget and a vision that the council can agree with, you're at loggerheads, and you're not going to get anything accomplished. So you though the mayor is going to have a vision, he's got to have a vision that incorporates the visions of those nine council members that he's got to, that he's going to work with.
Exactly.
And exactly. You know, I've reached out to the current council, all of those guys, and literally sat down and broke bread with them, had dinner with them, and talked about the problems and issues that they're experiencing in the city, where they think the city could go or should go, and how to resolve some of those issues. So I've got a good handle on their perspective. The next step will be whomever gets elected to the council, before we're all sworn in, to do the same thing with them, to sit down with them and pick them a little bit and see what their vision is, what their plans and goals are for their district, number one, or if they're at large, the city as a whole, and make sure that any plans that I have going forward or any ideas that I have going forward will incorporate their visions and what they expect to bring to the city. You know, one of the things that the mayor does, he's got 11 different people that work for him and are appointed by him, and I'll have that choice and decision to make. But we got a bunch of good people working in the city right now. I've not made any commitments to anybody for any job, so I don't intend to come in and just clean house across the board. I want everybody to have a chance to present themselves and their skills. And if we do a vetting process of any candidates or any new employees that I'm going to be hiring, I'm going to have them vetted through the council members also, and let them talk to the council members. If they can't function and get along with the council, then they're not going to be an asset to me, which is
exactly
what I need, people that can work with others and get along.
Well, so much of life today has to do with networking. It has to do with cooperation, having to do find the better good for all the people. And it just takes somebody with a mind towards considering the point of view of other people. Not one of us, I'm sure, has all the answers to all the questions. But if we can put our heads together, I've got a sense that we're going to come up with some pretty good things. You were talking about the future, maybe synthesizing what you see from the different council people and from your constituents. But do you have a vision, an idea of where you'd like to see this whole thing end up? You're obviously a man of vision. Going to the moon, building rockets, that takes a visionary to figure that out and to be excited for that for near on to 30 years. It takes a special person. What are you thinking about? Where are we going? To the moon, maybe?
Well, as I said, I'm not the smartest guy in the room, and those smart guys, I was able to put them together to help accomplish those tasks. But we're going to the moon and beyond, to Mars, in the space program.
That's right.
You know, here in Slidell, one of the first things that I want to do, I've got some ideas of where I think some things could be taken further than we have currently. Our mayor and our council, I think, have done a wonderful job of what
they've been
given.
Yes, they have.
And that the ball's there. Now it's time, their term's up. Hand that ball off and let us run with it. Some new guys with some new energy and new blood and new ideas. One of the first things that we need to do, though, is you can't move an idea forward unless you have buy-in from everybody, meaning the general public. And okay. I want the community to come together with tell me what they want their vision of Slidell to be. My vision of Slidell is that we have safe, crime-free streets, places for our children to play, parks for our children to play in, opportunities for families to picnic and enjoy the community and family. That doesn't come without a cost, you know, and we have resources here in the community that we can use to do that. I also believe that we have $100 million worth of grant money that we're taking advantage of, and we'll continue to do that. But that grant money only goes so far in the city, and we still have other infrastructure problems and issues with our infrastructure, or some of our roads and sewer and drainage systems that are older and are going to have to be replaced and refreshed in the next 8 to 10 years, which will call for somebody getting out of their comfort zone and going to the state, the feds, whomever, to try to procure or secure additional funding to make that happen. Now, if we're good at what we do here in the community and we can go and sell ourselves to companies that support Boeing or companies that support Lockheed or companies that support entertainment arts or any or IBM's, any of these companies that can bring technology type based jobs or jobs that into our community where families can make a living and earn their way, take care of their families, we're going to stimulate the economy. And if you stimulate the economy, then you're going to have just additional resources just through your general sales tax and your property values increasing to do the infrastructure improvements that we need to do. So, you know, I foresee me being one of the biggest ambassadors of the city. Some people have talked about hiring a marketing director or a firm to go out and market the city. I'm not opposed to hiring a consultant to share ideas with me, but I do believe that one of the biggest jobs that I will have as the mayor is to spread the good news about what a wonderful place Slidell is to live, raise a family, and work. And if we can get an employer base into our community that believes the same way, we'll create opportunities for our constituents, our community, to make a living and employ themselves right here in Slidell.
That's awesome. That's awesome. A very dear friend of mine, a visionary perhaps in his own area, told me one time, leading a Bible study, that he considered that Bible study to be a spiritual hothouse. It was a place where you created an environment where tender young things could take root and grow and eventually take on a life of their own. You know, and it occurs to me, as I was listening to you describe perhaps a political, economic, social hothouse where providing the tools and the elements where things can take root, things can grow, freedom of expression, freedom of opportunity to be able to turn our great city into something even more magnificent. And it sounds like the things that you're putting together in your for us here with words has a whole lot to do with providing the means by which we can achieve the very best that we can be as we express ourselves as citizens. Does that resonate with you at all?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we have some very smart people in Louisiana and Slidell. I mean, these are the very people that have put the space shuttle into flight, you know, exactly. Have built the hardware that put men into space. So there's no doubt that we've got smart people here. We've got creative people here. Look at our arts folks that we have around town. We've got people that have played at the Grand Ole Opry. We've got people that, yes, sir, people that have actually played at the Opry with some of the greats up there. We've got Mr. Perkins, who wrote, you know, a song from back in, was it 40s, 50s, I don't remember. We've got some very talented people in here. And you look around at some of Adam Sambola's work, you know, we've got some folks that do metal sculpting that have, I've got a sculpture of the New Orleans skyline on my wall in my office that was made by a gentleman here in Slidell. So we got some very talented people, very talented artists, and we've also got some very talented and creative business people. Those folks need a place where they can, an incubator, if you will, down in the warehouse district in New Orleans. They've taken old buildings and repurposed them and created business incubators where they essentially give all the back office assistance to a small startup company, and it's shared by 4, 5, 6 different companies. Well, we've got vacant storefronts around the city. I'd love to see a business in them that would generate tax revenues, but if we don't, why can't we put a business incubator in one of those businesses or one of those vacant storefronts? Create an opportunity for individuals that are creative and are going to maybe do software development or some type of small light manufacturing development in these spaces. People to put their creative talents in and also some of their capital, if they've got that opportunity, either personally or raising capital, bringing resources, capital into the city and the community to take and start a business and let it grow. We've got places that we can do that. We just have to have people that have the vision and the place at the table, if you will, where these folks are to introduce them to what we do and what we have.
So important.
Yes,
so
sir.
Important. Excellent. Changing the subject just a little bit, we've had the pleasure of your company sitting at the the mayor's monthly prayer meeting with the pastors here in town, praying with the mayor about his concerns about the city. For the church community, it's been really an important connection. What thoughts might you have about continuing such a thing, or maybe moving in maybe even different directions, but kind of maintaining that relationship with the church community?
Well, you know, there's that old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. To put it bluntly, I've been to several of those morning breakfasts with you gentlemen and have found it to be inspirational and uplifting. And I don't see any reason that we would even consider any of us as candidates stopping that. I think it's a great opportunity for the mayor, and if the mayor wants to bring some staff members in to actually pray about for guidance from up above to move us in the right direction. But also, you guys know your constituents, your congregations. You know what's on their hearts and what's on their minds. You know the people that are having problems and what those problems are. What better way to get those problems relayed to folks that may be able to help them or may be able to put them in contact with the right sources? That's one area that my state government experience will be very beneficial. We already have the contacts with the state resources to help a lot of these type of situations with the veterans, people with Social Security issues, things of that nature. Mary in my office has been fantastic being able to resolve those issues, but I'm getting off track a little bit. It's something that we would definitely consider, or not consider, but continue. I think it's vital to the community. One of the things that I want to do is I want to create a business advocacy board, and I want to create a citizens advocacy board that would work with homeowners associations and things, but I also want to have a clergy advocacy board. And we'll meet on a monthly or quarterly basis, and we'll take minutes from those meetings, and we'll walk away with action items. I may tell you to go off and give me some research on a specific issue that you've got a problem with, and bring it back to me at the next meeting, and then we'll go work that problem together, or I may go off and do that. Have an opportunity to interact and get a result in the end. Don't just talk, but when you're done talking, be able to see a result, or either a reason why the result wasn't able to move in the direction you wanted it to. So the mayor's prayer breakfast annually is something that has been phenomenal for not just our community, but the whole parish.
Yes, it is.
Because we have mayors from every community in our parish that come participate in that. And you can't tell me that they don't take that spirit back to them in their communities. And we had people from Washington Parish that have participated before and wanted to start the same thing in Washington Parish. And I don't know if it ever got off the ground, but doggone it, there's no reason why it couldn't, and we can help them do that.
Well, you know, it's done great things for the community. One of the things I would note, that it's done great things for the clergy community, if that's even such a thing, is that it's put us in a place to work cooperatively, not building silos in our churches of this is my work, this is my thing, but putting those things aside to be able to work together for the betterment of the community, where none of us get the credit. My name is not on any of this stuff, and neither is anybody else's. But stuff happens in a positive way in the community. So it's one of the positive things is giving us a forum to create something that didn't exist before. And it's good, and it's positive, and it's been helpful. So I'm thrilled to hear you say that.
Oh, I think it's one of the best things we've got going in our community. You know, it brings you back to what we were all about during Katrina, you know. Our community picked ourselves up. We didn't wait for the feds or the state or anybody else to come in. We weren't looking for a handout. We were looking for a hand up. And when the faith-based organizations came into our city, we worked side by side with them to put our properties back together, to clean things up, to feed folks that had needed resources.
Right.
You know, we helped each other get through that crisis. And that's what our community is all about. We're good people. We got a good vision, and we got a wonderful place to live. We've got some wonderful clergymen that lead us from the faith-based side, and hopefully we will have good leadership to lead us from the government side.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for running after that a little bit with me. I appreciate that. Is there anything else you'd like to deliver to our citizens as we present you to the community with the mayor's race in mind, enjoying the ways you've caused us to be blessed in the past, and kind of looking to the future, what would you say to us?
Well, you know, I've been blessed and very fortunate to have had the opportunity to serve our community in the capacities that I've been able to. But the other side of that is I've always had a full-time job that took away my focus, if you will, from my public service. I've got to make a living. I always say I work a 40-hour-a-week job so I can play politician on the after hours. So I'm really relishing the opportunity to be able to spend and devote my entire thoughts, talents, energies, and time to serving our community in the capacity of mayor. It's a true honor to be able to even sit in front of you and sit with the other three candidates to compete for this position, interview for the position, if you will. We got three wonderful guys that are sitting next to me in the race. You know, we can't go wrong with any of them. Of course, I believe I'm the best one out of the four, or I wouldn't be doing this, because they're all good people and I'd get out of their way. But I'm prepared to be mayor. I'm focused on getting into that office, and I truly believe we have God's favor on this campaign. You know, I've every campaign I've ever been in, this will be the sixth, I've always prayed about it with my wife, prayed about it with my pastor, and felt that this was the direction that God wanted me to go. And I don't second guess. I just open up and say, God, and this is my prayer at night, God, if you want me to be mayor, you're going to put me in the mayor's office. And I'm ready to accept that challenge. And I'm going to work just as hard as I can every day that I get up to make sure that I have not let you down in my opportunity to get here. So with that, I would appreciate your vote in consideration on March 24th, whenever the mayor's race rolls around. And if we are fortunate enough to be in a runoff, I'd appreciate you considering me again on April 28th when we get to that runoff.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know you're running a really tight schedule. Thanks for squeezing us in. We really appreciate it. Appreciate your words. Appreciate your love for the city. And just having folks like you and Peggy in the community, it makes us better. So let me just say thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Bob.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Grace Radio today. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call at 985-250-1037. Leave a comment, send us a text. If there's something that Representative Cromer said that piqued your interest and you'd like to get more information, give us a call and we'll put you in touch with him. We'd also encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio Slidell, and also check our website, www.graceradioslidell.net. There you can make tax-deductible donations to support this station. We need the financial support, folks, of people just like you. And again, that number to call is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again daily for Voices of Slidell at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.